Hello, friends. I'm Rosie Acosta, author, mindfulness teacher, and wellness coach.
And I'm Tessa Tovar, producer, co-host, and your partner in Real Talk for all things wellness and beyond.
Welcome to the Radically Well podcast. This is a space where we break down the messy, transformative moments that make us who we are, because wellness isn't about perfection. It's about embracing the journey.
Every week, we'll tackle the topics no one talks about, but everyone needs to hear, like navigating hormones, aging, relationships, sex, and self-care.
You'll hear unfiltered stories, expert advice, and real, relatable conversations that empower you to reset your mindset, reimagine your health, and show up as your most authentic self. Whether you're here to learn, laugh, or maybe cry a little, this is your space to feel seen, supported, and inspired to live radically well.
So grab your favorite tea or, hey, maybe a glass of wine, and let's dive in.
Let's get radically well. Well, everybody, welcome to the Radically Well podcast. I'm Rosie.
And I'm Tessa.
Yay. So we've been on hiatus, obviously. We've been just living life and gearing up for season two of the podcast.
Yeah, I'm super excited for season two. And we just wanted to pop in today with something a little extra special for the next week, because as Rosie said, we are gearing up, which means if you guys only knew the prep work that goes into podcasting, oh my God. It's a labor of love, and we do love it. We do love it.
You know, somebody did ask, they're like, who's your production team? And I love when people ask. She laughs. She's like, it's me. Yeah. And me.
Yeah.
And me. And this is it. You know, and obviously we have Sapphiris Media, which is Jess.
Yes.
Jess is our videographer and she's amazing.
I love her. She's just the best.
Yeah. So continue. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Know.
I just think it's funny.
No. I think that's a great thing to note. But I'm so excited for season two. But in the meantime, we do have a little mini series. It's going to feature some of our favorite guests from season one. These are moments that just really made us pause and reflect and laugh or say wow out loud. And like I've said before, I've said this on the podcast before, I do go back and listen because I am editing and I'm making sure it's polished and ready to go. And I always learn something new when I re-listen. I love it.
Yeah. And for me, the same. I'd love to be able to re-listen when we do get those final cuts and, you know, everything's put together so perfectly. And I do sometimes want to re-listen. And I think this is why we're creating these sort of mini, I don't know, what are we calling it? Mini series?
Yeah, let's call it a mini series. Well, I keep saying recast, but
Yeah. Well, it's like a recast of, you know, some of the most powerful parts of the conversations that we've had and obviously the feedback that we've received from people. Sometimes for me, I know when I listen to a really great podcast and then I want to go back and re-listen, maybe I don't remember exactly where that portion was or what number podcast. And so it's really cool to be able to just listen to a recast like this. And also all 12 episodes of the season of season one is available now. So you can go back and take a listen. You can binge every single episode entirely. And yeah, we hope that you feel re-inspired and maybe you even see things in a new light.
Yeah. Oh, we loved season one so much and we're so excited to share these standout moments with you. So sit back, get cozy, and enjoy this special rewind series on the Radically Well podcast.
What are you attracted to? Because I feel so unattractive, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that that's like one of the things that people don't, especially women, like we don't talk about that, you know? And I feel so fortunate and so lucky that Tori is like such a gentleman and so loving. And he never made me feel anything other than beautiful, like and attractive, you know? And I mean, there was a point where I said to him, you know, I wish I could see myself the way that you see me, because I don't see myself that way. It wasn't necessarily something that we talked about, because it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to tell the person that you've been with your entire adult life, really, that like, yeah, I have no sexual desire at all right now. Yeah. I don't feel sexy. I feel completely foreign in my body. And I just feel awful, you know, because then this is where it starts to sort of change the dynamic of the relationship.
Yeah.
Right.
And I also wonder if there's a, I've had that exact same conversation with Jorge, and I've always been very cognizant of the possibility that when I say that to him, he takes it personal.
Right.
Because he's like, well, why isn't she attracted to me enough to like overcome this low libido or something?
Right.
And it's just very different for men. I think it's just so different for men.
100%. They don't have a, even for us, like we have a cycle. We go through.
Right.
We are ruled by the moon.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Men don't have that. They are consistently like,
I'm ready to fuck.
I'm ready to fuck right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know there's what I mean?
Jorge doesn't need foreplay.
Yeah. Same. Women.
Yeah.
Women, right? Here, our producer behind the scenes, she's nodding. Yes. We need, and here was the other thing, like in that process, there was, you know, and we would try, and I would most of the time, I'm going to say right here, like you do what you do to appease your partner, you know, because it's like there's moments where I just don't feel like doing it.
Oh my God.
100%. It's like you do the pity sex, you know?
Yeah. Which almost feels even, I think when that would happen with Jorge and I think he would feel really bad because he would know.
Yeah.
After he'd be like,
he knows, but here's the thing, they don't give a shit.
You think so? Okay.
Not at all. Tori does not give a shit.
I shouldn't worry about that.
Don't worry about it. I don't think, I mean, we'll take a poll. Here's the thing, guys. If you get pity sex, does it matter at the end of the day? Do you care? I'm curious. Let us know.
Yeah. I want to know the answer to that.
I want to know too, because I know that Tori doesn't, I mean, he might be like, well, I don't want pity sex, but it's like every time I've done it, he just goes right in and takes it. You know, it's like, I'm just like, I'm down, I guess, you know? And he's like, oh, we don't have to. And it's like, okay, we don't have to. But he's like, but if you want to, and it's like,
and then you turn around and he's like, ready.
He's ready. He's just like, okay, we're doing this, I guess. It's happening.
Yeah.
But look, this process, I mean, the conversation has come up because, you know, there are, I think it's really important to learn to navigate these conversations too without, it's like, I want to be able to dispel the shame around.
Yeah.
What happens to our bodies as women, you know, it's like all of a sudden this unspoken thing where you have to use lubrication or you have to, you know, like get things, you know, like bring some spice into your life, add a little bit more foreplay into your sexual experience. Because women, by the way, we're conditioned to not tell people what we want and how we want it.
But we want them to know what we want.
But we want them to know what we want. Yeah. So how are they meant to? Yeah, how are they meant to know? It's like, here's the thing. I've never, and I'm curious for you, like how the communication is. By the way, I hope that they're not watching this. Oh,
let's have this conversation though. I really want to talk about
but
this.
But it's like, we want our partner to know how to navigate this fortress, right?
Yeah.
We want them to be able to navigate in a way that's going to give us the most pleasure. And for the most part, from what I understand, it's like your partner wants to give you pleasure. Yeah. They want to make you happy. They want to help in the lubrication process.
I mean, that's been my experience.
I've always been very, and maybe it's because, you know, when Tori and I started dating, I was in, and you with Jorge as well, like I was very young. I was in my 20s. There was no inhibitions.
Yeah.
Like I was just like, let's do this. Let's do that. Let's try this. Yeah. Like, let's go here, put it over here. Let's put it over there. Yeah. You know, it was just, it was kind of, you know, like it was fun, you know, and we had a lot of fun. And that's the thing when you're young, and I feel like what happens as you get older, you know, things change. And, you know, I've even noticed in our relationship how we've gone through a lot of phases. We are not the same people we were 20 years ago. But I would argue that our sex is better now than it ever has been, ever. And I'm more attracted to him now than I ever have been. And I think a lot of that has to do with our openness, our ability to have conversations, his ability to hold space for me and to not judge and to allow me to tell him what I like or show him what I like and have him be receptive without feeling like his ego is hurt.
Right.
And I think, and him and I, we've actually had this conversation before where it's like, I appreciate the fact that it doesn't hurt his feelings. And at the end of the day, it's like, is you telling me what's going to make you feel good going to hurt my feelings? Right. You know, because I also feel like there's this unspoken sort of like expectation for men to just automatically know what to do with a woman's body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is a lot of pressure on them too.
Yeah, it is. And I have a lot of compassion for that because I feel like guys are not, how are you supposed to know? You have to explore and figure it out. And there has to be communication. And most women won't. I have girlfriends that have been in long-term relationships that have never had an orgasm with their partner. Yes, never. Like they just have never had any kind of orgasm with their partner.
Wow.
So, but that is, I'm going to look up the statistic right now here.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Jorge and I have always been, while you're looking that up, I'm thinking about the idea of communicating something like that, whether it be, hey, I need to have a conversation with you about how we approach sex, like who initiates, what I like, what I don't like, how often we have it, which is another thing that I want to talk about.
Oh, let's do it.
Frequency of sex, because it seems like there's a lot of, at least in my relationship, it's always kind of felt like one of the things that we kind of butt heads about is, are we doing it enough for him and his libido? Are we, and you know, we flip-flopped in that. I've been in the place where I'm like, well, what's wrong with me? He's not attracted to me. He doesn't want sex as much as I do. Well, now the shoe's on the other foot and it's right. Like my libido's going through it and we're trying to figure this out. So,
but are you having a conversation about
it? Yeah, we are.
Yeah. And I think that that's part of, you know, it's like, what about women that don't have the great communicate? It's like you know, in the, I'm a big advocate for women, especially when you're dating, like women, gals in their, you know, any age, 30s, 40s, 50s even. You know, I have a lot of friends that are going through a divorce right now and they're having a different experience. And I'm like, you're having a different experience because you're actually you're saying what you want now.
Yeah.
And I think that is such a key ingredient to be able to say, yeah, I'm not feeling sexy right now, or my libido is low, or I'm having some vaginal dryness. Because even saying that out loud, like that's embarrassing for a lot of people, for a lot of women, like to say that, it's just like, oh no, because we feel like somehow we're broken, like something's wrong with us, you know? And yeah, I think also having the conversation with your partner, because they might feel like, oh, maybe it's me. Maybe she's not into me.
Sure.
Maybe I'm doing something wrong, or I'm not doing something, or I'm not doing enough, or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So I think having that communication, like doing the foreplay, exploring what your options are, like, you know, keeping it fun and spicy and being able to, you know, novelty is always the key, right? Mm-hmm. Like bringing it, you know, anytime we travel, there's always, you know, some fun because it's different, right? When you're in your regular space and your regular fucking sweats and you in your loungewear and it's like, all right, well, let's have sex because it's like, I'm not going to tell you exactly. I'm not going to air all of our things out because then he's really going to have a conversation with me. But, you know, it's like we have our like little routine, you know, we have our nap time and it's like, it's a very specific routine and it's in a way, some people might be like, oh, that's boring. You get bored after a while. And it's like, well, it's not necessarily boring if you make it work every single time, you know?
Well,
and
if you enjoy it,
yeah, like it is what it is. But it is sometimes nice to bring in that novelty.
I know guys that will, okay, so as a guy, typically you want to fix, but then there's some guys that don't necessarily want to fix.
Yeah, they just want to run away from it.
They just want to run away from it. That's fine. You know, whatever works or not works for your situation.
What made you want to fix it? Because you love me. You're obsessed.
Yeah, and I wanted you to feel better. But at the same time, I think about the people that are literally looking at it as taking it personally.
Right.
And it's like, well, you're attacking me, or and it's like, bro, it has nothing to do with you. Like, get that out of your head now. Like,
we have friends in our lives and male friends who, now knowing what you know, since you're, you know, a pro at the menopause game now, and again, you're not an expert, but being through this process and being with somebody who's done a lot of research and, you know, we've created this whole new hub, you can see now if your friend, let's just specifically talk about one friend of yours who maybe their partner is going through what I went through, you can start to see the signs now, right?
Sure.
And so I have noticed that you tend to encourage more patience and compassion to this said friend. I guess the reason I bring it up is because if there are guys that are listening to this particular podcast right now, and they're just trying to figure out, like, what is the best way for me to support my mate, or what is the best way for me to deal with this tumultuous experience that all of a sudden me and my wife or girlfriend are fighting all the time, and it has nothing to do with her period. What would you say?
Well, I would say that you kind of pretty much nailed it. For those guys that, just because your mate is feeling down or is crabby or is going through it at the moment, doesn't mean they're on their period. That's not always to blame. So that's an easy scapegoat, and that's an easy one for guys to, like, oh, you know, and you're like,
what? Say it. Go ahead.
What?
What were you gonna say?
I wasn't gonna say anything.
He doesn't want to get canceled.
See, pro tip.
Anyway,
shut your goddamn mouth. That's the pro tip. So it's not always about that, per se. You know, somebody could just be going through it. I mean, I go through it sometimes. You know, there's days when, you know, we've got good days, we've got bad days, and, you know, all of that. So, but it's just being able to recognize, like, okay, this isn't part of the norm. And also having compassion for, I've known a lot of women, I've worked with a lot of women, and I have been around women whose cycles have synced, and they've been on the same cycle. And then it's like, you're dealing with two people in the same room that are going through different emotional upheavals, and having compassion for it and just rolling through it instead of giving feedback, or instead of giving any kind of, like, snarky responses or anything that puts you in the line of fire, because it's not about you. And you've just now made it about you by doing that, by, like, oh, well, you're being a nightmare because of this. And it's like, why does that even need to be said?
Yeah.
Just shut up. That would be my advice, whether you ask for advice or not. That's what I would say to these guys, is just, like, learn to be able to just roll with things, and you'll probably recognize that in a few days, things will change. And then you'll know if it was a cyclical thing, or if it's a bigger problem or a different problem that needs to be addressed.
Yeah. I have another question with what you said earlier, because I feel like more often than not, the guys in my life, friends of mine, male friends, they're more along the lines, they're more akin to what you're saying, where they might feel like if it's not a gaping wound, it's not that big of a deal. Or they might think like, yeah, you're just being emotional. You know, guys often throw that kind of laissez-faire sort of way of just sort of disregarding. So they, a lot of the times...
It's an easy scapegoat.
Yeah, so...
Because we can't fix it.
So guys then, if they can't fix, they'll just be like, oh, you're just being emotional, or you're just being whatever. Yeah. Okay.
Because if not, it's like, oh, well, here, let me try and figure out how to fix this. But if we know inherently, like, oh, this is above my pay grade.
Yeah. So it's just a way to, it's a protect, it's a defense mechanism.
Exactly. I think
so
that's,
what would you say to somebody in that space? Because it hurts your partner, right? Like, I can see a world where, and there were moments where you did make me feel like I was being dramatic. And I was like, wow, I am in so much physical pain right now. And he is being so disregarding mm-hmm. to my experience and not giving me the compassion that I need right now. Yeah. And like, I hated you. Like, I was just literally just so mad, resentful. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, how is it that I spent so much time with this person who I love the most and they're being so cruel and so mean and so disregarding?
Well, I would rebut that with, was I being that cruel? Was I being that mean in that moment?
I am not gaslighting
you. I cannot stand that term. And I know that's probably the one that's coming up like, oh my God. But really, you know, it's like,
can't stand it because he's a master gaslighter, but go on.
When
just kidding. Go on.
It's like when you watch a movie and you see a woman giving birth.
Well, honey, here's the thing.
And she's like, I fucking hate you. I'm here having a kid right now because of you. Like, the blame is going on to the guy, right? Mm-hmm. Even though it took two to tango, it's his fault. Everything's his fault in that moment.
Sure.
And I think the only time that I maybe gave kickback was when we were in a moment of not knowing. Neither of us knew what was happening. Mm-hmm. And you were blaming me for your predicament and or not being able to fix the predicament. And there may have been a little bit of a wall put up and gone like, okay, well, you know, there is a point when you're like, I don't know how to fix this. What else can I do? Do you want to, you know, go for a walk? Do you want to go for a drive? Do you want to go get ice cream?
Yes,
do you want
to, like,
our masks?
But all of those things are remedies to a situation when there's been a heated moment, and it is true and smart. But I also want people to know that, like, these are conversations we've had post, and in that moment, you didn't give me those options. You weren't like, oh, let's go for a walk, let's do this, because there was just like no communicating. There were moments where we just were not communicating.
Sure.
You know, I just want to give people the validation of, like, your partner's not always going to know when to say the right things. Like, we've learned, and we both learned. We've learned through this process because we're on the other side of it now.
Absolutely.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Radically Well podcast. This podcast is produced by Rosie Acosta and Tessa Tovar. Production by Sapphiris Media. Music by Monogram Sound. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for listening.